Would you open up your Bible with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5? Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're continuing in our series on keeping His commands. Is it there, Miss Marianne? Okay. All right. So if you, as you open that up, just think about the words of Sir Walter Scott. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. You remember that one? Whenever you were a child. And so if we haven't gotten you yet, we need everybody with this command. I've been feeling convicted all week about this command. Because just like you, just like everybody else in the room, we lie, don't we? And we catch ourselves doing it, and we're like, why did I say that? This study brought up lots of memories of lies from the past that I told, and a couple of them I need to go back and confess and to the person I lied to. And so Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. God wants us to be truth tellers. He wants us to be truthful in all that we say and we do. Everything we say and we do. He wants us to be truthful. And I look around us and I look at our culture, and we have a lying culture, don't we? We really do. We think about politicians and what they say. And when they say that, whenever they've been caught in a lie, because, I mean, they lie all the time, but when they get caught in a lie, that's when they say, oh, I misspoke. Not, no, I lied. I misspoke. I think about the weathermen. There's one particular weatherman named Bob Harris a while back, and he was a weatherman for a New York TV station, WPIX TV. And then also a nationally syndicated weather station as well. But this guy became known, Bob Harris became known as Dr. Bob, the weatherman. The only problem with that is Dr. Bob didn't finish school. He lied on his resume. And after he had gotten several book deals, and he'd been on national television, and all, somebody secretly said, anonymously said, hey, you guys should check into whether he's actually a doctor, because he didn't finish school. So they got to looking in, and they uncovered it, and found out that he wasn't a doctor. He got fired. Well, they let him have his job back eventually, but listen to what he said. He said, I took a shortcut that turned out to be the long way around. And one day the bill came due. I will be sorry as long as I live for the lie that he told. A lie may cover up the past, but it's going to destroy the future. And so I want us to, because we're told to be truth tellers, I want us to tell the truth tonight. So the first truth I want us to look at is the truth about a lie. A lie always causes self-destruction. You're going to destroy your own future by telling a lie. And even if it's just for a moment that you're going to destroy that moment that you could have gotten back. You could have used for the Lord's glory. The Bible says that we should redeem the time. You've only got a certain amount of time on this earth. You've only got a certain amount of words on this earth. You realize that? So to waste those words telling a lie is self-destructive. It hurts you. It hurts the person who tells a lie. It's like Bob Harris said, I'll be sorry as long as I live for that lie. He's going to waste the rest of his life being sorry about that lie that he should have never told. God could have promoted him another way. Self-destruction, damage to others. The court system of Israel depended upon the truthfulness of witnesses. In fact, you couldn't be convicted on the testimony of a single witness. There had to be at least two witnesses. And in multiple places throughout the law, God said on the witness of two or three witnesses, on the word of two or three witnesses. In fact, in the New Testament, that's even repeated. Paul says, don't believe an accusation against an elder except upon the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's why this rush to judgment in our culture, this cancel culture that we have, if somebody says something that somebody did, or just believe it and cancel them immediately. That's why I have a problem with that. Because so many people are being falsely accused. And that's exactly what this text, what Deuteronomy 5:20 is telling us not to do. Don't bear false witness and hurt people. But when we do that, we always damage others. God appointed judges, and the judges were in charge of making a thorough investigation. Listen to Deuteronomy 19:18-21. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, so you find out, I think about Judge Kavanaugh, the Judge Kavanaugh case, and how that all went down. Listen to what it says in verse 19. Then you shall do to him, or her, as he had meant to do to his brother. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You shall purge the evil from your midst, and the rest shall hear and fear, and shall never again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity, it shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That's God's law. Now, thankfully, we live under the New Testament law of grace, and we don't live by that law anymore. But that's the principle of the matter, is that if you're going to bear false witness against someone else, you're going to damage that person. If you're going to say something about them that's not true, you're going to malign them, then you deserve whatever punishment that you intended for them. It's going to come back on you. Well, what about the truth? What if the truth will hurt someone? I've had that asked. People ask me that question. What if I tell the truth and it hurts somebody to tell that truth? The lie will hurt worse, and the truth will always be found out. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Sorry about that. My sister-in-law called. She should know I'm in church. It's better to tell the truth that hurts and then heals than to tell a lie that comforts and then kills. The truth may hurt a little while. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Allison, her name means truth. That's what Allison means. And she is blunt with me. She will tell me whatever I don't want to hear. I'll come home thinking, I think I did pretty good with my sermon. What do you think, Alice? It could have been better, you know. You should study more next time. We must always tell the truth. Even if we think it's going to hurt somebody, we should tell the truth. But we need to remember, the truth doesn't always have to be told. Just because you know something, just because you believe something, doesn't mean you have to say it all the time. Amen? Okay, so you can just keep your mouth shut. Sometimes staying silent is the answer. In fact, we see that Jesus did that. He himself is the truth. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that as a lamb before its shears is silent, so was he. Ephesians 4, verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love. Now, these two things have to go together. If you're going to be a true truth teller, you're going to be a godly person in your speech, and you're going to tell the truth, then it must be tempered with love. And these two things must go together. speaking the truth in love, balancing those two things together and tempering our speech. Paul said also in Ephesians, let your speech be seasoned with salt. And so, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Why into Him? Because He is the truth teller. Jesus Christ is. And so it damages others. Thirdly, disqualification. A lie always results in disqualification. A loss of trust. No matter how big or small, when the lie drops, it always cracks the very foundation of trust. You're not going to be able to trust. I'm not going to be able to trust you if you tell me a lie. If you tell me a lie one time, where am I to think that you're going to tell me the truth? The next thing out of your mouth, I'm not going to believe it. And listen, I always have a problem whenever somebody says, honestly, and I do it myself. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. Or let me tell you the truth. So everything else you've been telling me is a lie? I always go, you know, when somebody says that. And then whenever I say it myself, I'm like, wait a minute, I've been telling the truth the whole time. Loss of integrity. In fact, whenever Paul lists the qualifications of deacons, he says that deacons must be trustworthy. Trustworthy. And so when you tell lies, you disqualify yourself from the ministry that God has for you, that's laid out for you, even if it's just in that moment. Whenever He's called you to be a truth teller, but you choose to tell a lie, you just disqualified yourself from God working in that moment in your life. And now you've given a foothold to the devil instead. And here's the fourth one, and this was probably the worst of all. Self-deception. Because when we tell a lie, we plant a seed. And that seed grows. It takes root. And now you have a weed in your life. Thomas Jefferson said, he who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it easier to do it a second time and a third time till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it and truths without the world's believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart and in time depraves all its good dispositions. You know what Thomas Jefferson is saying? He's saying it's not just going to stop at a lie. It's going to corrupt your entire life. Because now you're having to cover it up what you did. And you're going to expend all of your energy and effort trying to maintain the lie. Every time we tell a lie, we blur the lines of what's true and what's false until everything is gray. Well, what about the little white lie? Is there such a thing? There are only black lies, and the so-called little white lie is the biggest lie of all. What about lying for self-preservation? We do that, don't we, sometimes? We think, if I tell that right now, I'm going to... Or you lie on some kind of document to preserve yourself. I think about my nephew... My sister-in-law just called. I wonder if she knew that I was about to talk about him for a second. And he was even younger then. He's probably 3, maybe. And Jesse came in. I just happened to be there, and it was so funny. I don't know if it was markers. I can't remember what he had in his hand, but he had something he wasn't supposed to have in his hand. And he was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing with it. And Jesse came in the room, my brother, and he said, Will. And Will said, nothing. He didn't even say, Will, what are you doing? He just, nothing. He already pre-planned that he was going to lie about it. 3 years old. I mean, we are born liars, aren't we? But we'll get to that in a minute. Proverbs 21, verse 6, the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. If you get it because you lied, whatever it is, status, position, self-preservation, you think you're getting life, the Bible says you're getting death by the lie. What about lying to keep from hurting feelings? We already kind of touched on that, but listen to what it says in verse 28 of chapter 26 of Proverbs, 26 Proverb. A lying tongue hates its victims. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Now the next time she says, "Do I look good in this?" You just keep your mouth shut if you don't think so. No, that's a lie of self-preservation. But to flatter someone, to lie to flatter someone, may call it a little white lie. The Bible calls it the working of ruin and victimization and hate. What about withholding the truth? Leviticus 5 and verse 1, listen to this. Now, this isn't talking about just you got to go tell and spew everything that you know to everybody, but it's talking about when someone else has done something evil and you know about it. That's covering it up. What do we call that? It's aiding and abetting or something like that. It's whatever it is, it's withholding justice by not telling the truth. If anyone sins and that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. I think about the shooting that happened just a couple weeks back. I don't know that they ever found those guys. They stole a car from my neighborhood. They drove across town. They planned all this out. They drove across town, showed up, guns blazing. Four guys jumped out of the vehicle and shot up the place. Six people got shot in the apartment complex. I don't think they ever found those guys. But I wonder, how do four guys steal a car, get out, shoot a bunch of people, and no one saw anybody? That's bogus. Somebody knows something. And they're withholding the truth. Well, somebody said, well, everybody lies. Listen to what Austin O'Malley said. A lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you are forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth won't make it last any longer. Those that think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. John Wesley said it this way. I would not tell one lie to save the souls of all the world. Why? Because John Wesley knew the truth about a lie. Let me tell you secondly, the truth about the devil for just a moment. The devil is the father of lies. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. The King James says his native tongue. For he is a liar and the father of lies. That means that every lie comes from the devil. That's its origination. It has grown in the pit of hell, and its end is destruction. The devil was a liar from the beginning. You remember what he told Eve? God had told Adam and Eve, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you take of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you will surely die. And what did Satan say? You will not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of the tree, you will be like him, being able to discern good and evil. He's a liar. The moment that Eve was deceived and sinned against God, she fell from heaven. The devil is the father of all lies, and a lie is a poisonous, toxic acid that the devil spews out of his mouth. So whenever you speak a lie, you're not speaking for your heavenly Father. Listen, folks, I venture to say that most of us in this room know Jesus Christ with all of our heart. We love him. We've trusted the Lord God, but when we speak a lie, we're not representing our Heavenly Father. We're representing the devil. And the devil wants to use us, but he has no authority. So the next time the lie starts to well up from your heart and come into your head, you say, "Get behind me, Satan. I will not tell a lie." He wants you to believe his lies too. And he'll tell you lies all day long. He wants you to believe that you're not good enough. He wants to tell you that it won't hurt anything. He wants to tell you you don't need anybody else. The devil is the father of lies. And that's the truth about the devil. I want to tell you thirdly, the truth about us. Let's think about us for a minute. Why would God have to put this command in Scripture? Don't bear false witness. Why would he say that? Because the heart is deceitful. We are full of deceit. The flesh that we're born with is deceitful. I could tell you all kinds of stories whenever I was a kid, and all the things I did and how many times I lied about it. I remember one particular story. We had, when my mom and dad were building our house, my dad is a carpenter, a builder, and he was building our house, and we had, before that, lived in a trailer. And I know I grew up in Mississippi, okay? We lived in a trailer, and we parked it behind the house. So you can just imagine what that looked like in rural Mississippi. But growing up there, and I had a BB gun. My mom and dad gave me a BB gun. And that trailer was parked out there. We didn't stay in it anymore. We had begun to live in the new house, but they hadn't removed the trailer yet. But they were going to sell it and move it and all that good stuff, and it eventually did happen. But one day a window got broke, and nobody knew how that window got broken. My mom blamed it on my dad when he was cutting grass. "You hit a rock and hit that window. Look at that." But I knew the truth. And the truth was that I was about 100 yards away. I took aim and shot that window. Well, I came clean once I was an adult. And I knew I wouldn't get a spanking. But we are sick, aren't we? The human heart is sick. We are all liars until the truth sets us free. And when we say the truth, I have that capitalized for a reason. Because Jesus said that he himself is the way, the truth, and the life. Jeremiah 17:19-20, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Listen to the answer to that rhetorical question. "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." Americans are sick. There's a book that was written, The Day America Told the Truth. 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about matters they consider trivial. America's telling the truth about how much they lie. 91% of us say that we lie routinely about trivial matters. 36% lie about important matters. More than a third say we routinely lie about important things. 86% say we lie regularly to our parents. 75% to friends. 73% say to siblings. 69% say that they lie regularly to their spouse. A USA Today poll found out that only 56% of Americans teach honesty to their children. A Louise Harris poll turned up the distressing fact that 65% of high school students would cheat on an important exam. I know a young lady who's in nursing school that tells me that nursing students cheat on exams. Some of them have been caught, and some of them haven't. And I got to thinking about that. I don't want a cheater putting an IV in me, I think they're disqualified. Recently, a noted physician, this is, I won't say his name, appeared on national television and he said, lying is an important part of social life. And children who are unable to do it are children who may have developmental problems. In other words, if your children don't tell lies, they may be mentally handicapped. I'm sorry. My God tells me something different. And so lastly, let's think about the truth about God. Let's think about the truth about the Lord. God is always truthful. Amen. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He cannot tell a lie. I love that about God because you can trust what He says. If He promises, He will do it. If He calls, He will equip. He will equip. He never contradicts Himself. His Word, even though the liberal scholars out there will tell you that the Bible's full of contradictions and people that look at the Bible and they really give it a good hard look will say, there's some errors there. But you have to really study this Word. And when you do, you'll realize God has never contradicted Himself. The more and more I study God's Word, the more I realize God is absolutely consistent in everything He says and does. And the Word of God reveals that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Himself reveals the character of the Father. It emanates through Him as the truth teller. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. Psalm 101 and verse 7, no one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. See, God not only is always truthful, He cannot dwell in the presence of deceit. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes, the Lord says. So one day, every single one of us, we're going to stand before God and we'll give an account for every careless word that we've ever said. That's tough, but that's what Jesus said. And that's the truth. And there will be no lying in that moment. You will come absolutely clean before God. It's better to do it today, better to do it right now, and wait for that moment. God hates deception. It's not just that God is truthful and that God cannot dwell in the presence of deceit, but He absolutely hates deception because it always hurts others and it is a direct contradiction to who He is. Listen to Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes is first. A lying tongue. Second on the list of the things that the Lord hates. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. Verse 19. This is the sixth. A false witness who breathes out lies. And the one who sows discord among brothers. The Lord hates the lie. When you look at Jesus and you say, okay, He's the very essence of truth. He Himself is. Who are we to say that a lie won't hurt someone? Whenever God says, I hate it. I hate it. And on the other hand, God loves truthfulness. He loves truth. And He loves for His children to speak the truth in love. That's what He desires for each of us. And so can you make that covenant in your heart today, tonight? Say, I will be a truth teller. I will be a truth teller. I want to read to you, kind of as we close, an excerpt from The Life of Washington by Mason Locke Weems. Now, some people have said this is a myth, and it's not true. Weems made all this up, but either way, it illustrates a point. George, said his father, do you know who killed that beautiful little cherry tree yonder in the garden? This was a tough question, and George staggered under it for a moment, but quickly recovered himself, and looking at his father, with the sweet face of youth brightened with the inexpressible charm of an all-conquering truth, he bravely cried out, I can't tell a lie, Pa. You know I can't tell a lie. I did cut it with my hatchet. Run to my arms, you dearest boy, cried his father in transports. Run to my arms. Glad I am, George, that you killed my tree, for you have paid me for it 1,000-fold. Such an act of heroism in my son is more worth than 1,000 trees, though blossom with silver and their fruits of purest gold. God loves it whenever His children tell the truth. We please our Heavenly Father when we're truthful. Well, one last thought. What if they lie about you? What if someone tells a lie, spreads a lie about you? Has that ever happened to anybody in the room? You know how it hurts? They lied about Jesus. They took this commandment and they shattered it. They falsely accused Him of being a glutton and a drunkard. They cried, He blasphemes. Crucify Him. Jesus said, it is enough for the disciples to be like His teacher and that the servant like His master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of His household? But there will be a day, there will be a day when you will be vindicated. Luke 12, Jesus says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that not will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, we know that Your word is truth, and Lord, as we hear Your word, You're sanctifying us by Your truth. And sometimes that even means revealing the lie that's within us that needs to be confessed. Lord, we pray You would do Your cleansing work right now in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, we know that John tells us that to say that we know God, we don't keep His commands, it's to tell a lie. And so, Lord, help us now to not only be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word, to be truthful in all things, because You are the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.